for this?
Hello, everybody. This is Todd, and welcome to the Geek News Central podcast for 23 October. Got a great show for you today. Got a lot of stuff to go through. And quite frankly, I am hungover and in recovery mode. So if things don't go as smooth as possible, blame it on Austin, Texas. We had a rough night last night. Oh wow, what a Saturday night or Friday night I had. It was big, folks. Went out there, and I've never been down to Austin before, and I got in here early yesterday afternoon and got checked into the hotel, got everything set up about 6 o'clock, headed out and had some dinner, and started hitting the 6th Street Bar District here in downtown Austin. Whew, what a night. And I may put some pictures up on my personal site, but I had a good time. And this morning when I woke up about 11:30, I didn't really feel that bad. But, you know, from a night of heavy partying and then coming back to the room and sleeping and probably not drinking as much water as I should, a little bit of a hangover. But anyway, I wanted to get this show in the can today and get this out to everybody. The response that I've been getting back on the show has been nothing but overwhelming. I can't believe the number of comments that we're getting and people that are linking into the show. I promised a couple shows ago that I would talk about some of you guys that are linking to me. I'm going to try to get to all of you today, and hopefully, it's not all of you. It's not an all-inclusive list, but. Hey, Alan, I know that you sent me an email and wanted to hook up today here in Austin. I appreciate the comment. I appreciate the email, but things didn't work out. I've got a thing to do this afternoon, and apologize for not getting back with you. But there was a comment on the iPodder development mailing list where Richard Curry was talking about maybe setting up a dedicated server so that some of us that are doing podcasts that may be running into bandwidth issues would be able to go in with him on a dedicated server to put to upload our podcast to. And I know that some of you have sent me emails on that exact issue, and I would like to invite you to send me an email with your name, of course, and a good email contact so that we can put you on a list, and I can forward that to Richard and see if he's still planning on doing that. I know that some of you overseas were looking for a place to dump your podcast onto, and I think he's going to talk about doing $10 a month. Those of you that are, you know, some of the guys that are out there that run these podcasts have, you know, unlimited pipe, or they're, you know, they have a and have, you know, they basically have an account that'll handle it. I know a lot of us don't. Like I said before, I've dedicated 100 gigs of traffic a month to this these podcasts, and thus far we've stayed pretty much in limit. The last show was pretty big, and we had about 1,300 downloads on that. You know, if I do the math on it, we may be able to stay in our limit and based upon the bit rate that I recorded it. A lot of trackbacks coming in. Shadow Central, a website, sent us a nice trackback ping to the podcast, and we want to thank them for that. And I'm going to kind of go through some of these sites really fast. I'm going to put the links up on the post today so that you have an idea who's reading the who's listening to the show. And who's commenting? ColonelSanders.com. Thanks for the post. A website called Get Over It. And again, that's not necessarily what the domain name is, but they had a link up to us. Of course, Yard Boy, he also had one. And there was one over at Opinions and A Star Star Holes, the Trum Eater website, the Exet, it's a UK site, made a nice comment. Some of my Irish brothers over in Ireland are getting into the, are sending some link back. So Irish Eyes, thank you for your comment. And I tell you, I love Ireland, and my family is partially from there. And did a lot of, my mother's done a lot of genealogy, and great country. The Real American Idol, that's another website that made comments to us. Of course, one of our dedicated listeners or readers is Girl on the Loose. She links to us quite a bit. Dwayne and Shadow, his weblog. And just another Code Monkey. Sharp Eyed blog. And it looks like a Dutch. Maybe it looks like Dutch writing on the site, but the LV blog. Luke Van Brockel's weblog. Thanks for the link back. I think that's going to do it for the initial ones that we're going to talk about today, is sending us link backs and gets back into some of the content that I want to go over today. I haven't thrown a lot of notes together, so this is going to be kind of rough, so deal with me. But there was a John Udell's weblog on InfoWorld has a very interesting article. It talks about who owns subscription data, and the when you think about it, there was, he did a comparison of the 20 most popular feeds read by a sample of his 100 of his subscribers, and he cross-linked that with some results from InfoWorld, and some of it married up pretty cool. So it's a pretty interesting article. And he goes into, again, about those that are collecting information about who's coming to our sites and where they're coming from, and all the cross-linking, etc. It makes for some very interesting metadata, very interesting marketing data, and I'm sure a lot of firms out there are using it. But I check that link out and let me know what you think about that. But I thought it was a great article. More and more I keep hearing about people starting to get ID chips implanted in their skin. Dan Gilmore on his e-journal has an article about that today. That just, I don't know about you all, but it just gives me the creeps. You know, if you, for the men out there that shave with Gillette razors, they know that when you open that Gillette razor package up, you see an RFID tag pasted in there. And you're starting to see more and more products out there that have RFID chips in them. And I guess my concern is if they've talked about RFID technology getting to the point where it's going to be embedded in clothes, so that when you turn in your clothes to the dry cleaner can scan the clothes and get specific cleaning instructions for the garment. But I guess my concern is if we continue to go down this path and have everything that we own and have a RFID chip embedded in it, what's to stop marketeers from, and you know, I don't know if the technology is possible, I'm sure it is. You know, let's say you have 100 items in your home, let's say a pack of cigarettes, a lighter, any type of medicines, stuff that you buy that you may not want your neighbors to know that you buy. You know, go through those list of things that you have in your house, and just think if someone drove by your house in a truck with some sort of a transmitting receiving type device, and they basically scanned your house for the products that you have, and based upon that information provided feedback to, one, insurance companies, two, lawyers, three, marketing firms that's going to target your house with direct mail. It's pretty scary. Then to top it off, to put an RFID chip implanted under your skin to use that for purchases, you know, that all that data is now linked to you. You know, you go to a store, go to a party, go to a store, buy some beer for a party. you have one of these chips implanted, and the store registers that, yeah, you're the one that bought the beer. You go to a party, people consume alcohol, someone gets a DUI from that alcohol, and then you're charged in relation to, you know, to helping that that crime be committed, even though the person that maybe consumed the alcohol is at fault. So there's a lot of things that can come back on us on privacy issues that I don't necessarily agree with. Recently, in a lot of the podcasts I've been listening to, a lot of people are trying to get away from using any music that is under the heavy hand of the RIAA. I know our intro still has copyrighted music in it, and I think for the time being, you know, until I collect enough non-copyrighted material, even though I personally have already paid for that content, I guess rebroadcasting isn't an issue that a number of people are concerned about. I think we're going to be cutting down some of the music content that we have in playing in the background on the podcast. The hard part thus far is finding enough variety of non-RIAA controlled music to be able to, you know, have good background music to go along with it. If someone would come up with a decent licensing fee for us, where we didn't have to pay, you know, up to $500 to license to rebroadcast music, I think I'd be in favor of paying it, because I like a lot of the commercial music that's out there. But I also, my hats are off to all the independents. If you know of a great independent band that has great great music that is not under the heavy hand of the RIAA and want to be able to get some exposure, have them drop me an email or send me some content, and we'll put it on the podcast for background music, and of course give everyone you know, credit for their product. Talking about the music groups, Dan Gilmore today had two great articles, and the one we just talked about, but the there's another one where he has a link about it says record labels said to be next on Spitzer list for security, and what's Elliot Spitzer is Attorney General of New York State, and he's looking at how the music industry is paying off, well, I'm not going to say paying off other music stations, but he's seeking copies of contracts and billing records, etc., to see how the music industry does their, you know, gets their music played on radio stations nationwide. You know, it's kind of like the RIAA, MPAA, those two groups are, you know, they have so much control of what music you and I listen to on public radio. It's actually disgusting. And the I guess this venue, a podcast, well, I'm going to have to start eating my own words here and live up to that and start playing independent people's music on the podcast. I found a site today that it's basically who links to me, and I found two today, and one was I was looking at Robert Scoble's blog lines reading list, and that man, he reads an unbelievable number of feeds on I don't know if he gets through those on a daily basis or not, but he subscribes to a service called PubSub, and it's at www.pubsub.com, and it's where you can enter a keyword like Geek News Central, or do a subscription where you put in like Geek News Central or your name or any type of topic areas that you're interested in, and they will create a RSS feed of any time that service gets a hit from a weblog or some of the other search services out there. It will provide you an RSS feed of all that information so that you can quickly link to it. I've got an article up on the website right now that talks about it. It's similar to the same thing that Feedster offers, where you can do some keyword searches and get an RSS feed too. But The other site that I found, it's called WhoLinksToMe.com. Now, I don't know where this site is getting its information. I don't know if it's just going out and doing a Technorati poll and pulling in the data and displaying it, but WhoLinksToMe.com is another site, along with PubSub.com, and of course Feedster has a similar service. So I'm trying to, as much information as I look at on a daily basis, I'm trying to focus on certain things. You know, I'm really interested in science and the Hubble Space Station, or Hubble Satellite, the International Space Station, stuff like that. So what I'm doing is I'm building lists that have International Space Station, Hubble, has if or links to maybe RIAA, MPAAA, and different search terms that as news comes available throughout a day, and I can continually get an RSS feed update, allows me to look at items that I'm interested in researching and maybe commenting on the podcast or putting on the website itself. I found an interesting, I read an interesting article about from Tim Anderson. He has a comment on here, why I haven't got a Mac. And I've got a couple of good friends who are that own Macs, and actually, you know, I have a lot of friends that own Macs, and they are always giving me a hard time on why I have never bought a Mac or tried a Mac. And I think it boils down to choices. You know, you have one supplier, basically, that you can buy a Mac from, you know, or one. It's not like where I can go down to a store and I can buy piecemeal parts and put a machine together and load an operating system on it. I think for an Apple to succeed in the future, what they're going to need to do is they're going to have to make a OS that I can load on my x86 machines. Sure, they have great packaging, but you know, as a typical geek, I do a lot of build my owns, and why do I want to buy a prepackaged system now directly from Apple or one of their resellers? I know a lot of you have a Mac and love your Mac just as much as I like my PCs. But, you know, I'll be honest, I wouldn't mind running the Apple or a Mac operating system, the OS X. I wouldn't mind doing that, but I don't necessarily want to run it on a Apple product. Call me selfish. Hey, there's the Cassini spacecraft is making a close approach to Titan, and it's going to have some new pictures up. But the Cassini's also been shooting some great pictures of Saturn here in the last month or so that haven't made a lot of hasn't gotten a lot of press. So I'm going to put a link up to the NASA JPL site for the Cassini spacecraft. Go over there and check that out. I found an interesting article that talks about relationships, and you know, a lot of women, or men and women, are out there are. Essentially cheating on their spouses by going on chat websites and having virtual girlfriends that are they're not really virtual, they're real women or real men, and a lot of people are getting in trouble with that. But what they're finding is that men talk to Google, not their girlfriends or wives, and they're asking they're searching for advice on Google, and I don't know, I think that's I search for information, but I don't know if I've ever really searched for personal information. I know I've searched for information looking for some stuff from my kids before on some issues, but I don't think I've ever went to Google for advice on my wife. That's what are friends and parents, and you know, if you're looking for information, or even, you know, talking to your spouse yourself, you know, instead of going out there and looking for information like that. I know, I guess it's another resource tool, but I guess they're finding that men are talking to Google and not their girlfriends on a more regular basis. There's a great article in eWeek talks about some of the issues Google had last week with some threat to their applications, to their search toolbar. and also some interlinking with their desktop search application. It didn't go so far as to saying that the desktop search application was vulnerable, but they definitely had some issues. So if you want to check that information out, make sure you go over to the eWeek site that I've linked on the primary page. I'm yawning, I apologize. It was I'm still tired from last night. let's see here. Clicking down through the links. I know that a lot of you guys are looking at Sirius or XM Radio, and you're trying to decide which way you're going to go on if you're going to go, which product you're going to go with. There's a great deal right now. XM Radio allows you to try their programming online. You don't have to have any equipment. You just go and sign up for a 3-day free trial, and you get to check all their channels out via an online application. Now, what I'm wondering is, why don't they offer this to their subscribers? You know, it'd be great if XM Radio had a subscription base where you could get all their programming streaming all the time. It's maybe something that they would want to think about. But Engadget had the article that talked about the 3-day free trial, and he's got a link on there. So go to the Engadget link on the website. There was a, speaking of Engadget, he interviewed Griffin Tech, the CEO of Griffin Technologies. They're the people that make some of the great products for the iPod, like the iMic and the iTrip and the iBeam and the PodPod and EarJams. Something I found on there that I never knew they made was a product called Radio Shark. It's AM/FM radio with time shifting recording. It basically plugs directly into a USB port on your computer, and you can do real airwaves recording of stuff. And to me, this is perfect. I've always looked for a little product to be able to do recording of certain radio shows I listen to in Hawaii. I can, some of those I can get streaming, some I can't. So I'm gonna buy one of these Radio Sharks, put it up my upstairs bedroom, or actually upstairs office, and have it connected to one of my computers and do a syncing to my iPod so that I can get these radio shows that I like to listen to when I'm asleep. You know, Hawaii, the disadvantage of being in Hawaii is we're on a basically 5 hours is the time shift, depending on if I call the East Coast, it's 5 hours. If that's under daylight savings time, when you're under daylight savings, when it switches back, it's 6 hours East Coast, 3 hours to California. So a lot of the shows, by the time I get up in the morning, if they're an East Coast broadcast, have already played for the day, and the radio stations pick those syndicated feeds up, and basically, and they're playing live while I'm sleeping. So I miss the shows completely. So this is going to give me the opportunity to be able to listen to some of those syndicated shows that I like to listen to in Hawaii. And also, I like to listen to Coast to Coast AM, and that's usually on Too Late. You know, it's not on Too Late. It's on from 7 to 12 in Hawaii. And, you know, 7 to 12 is either family time, or I'm doing stuff in the office, or spending time with the wife. So it's not a time I'm going to have a radio on. And, you know, combine this with all these podcasts, I guess I'm going to have my programming set up 24 hours a day for me. Hey, the crew that's up there in the ISS, International Space Station, they're getting ready. The crew's done their swap out, and tomorrow morning they're going to be doing their departure and coming in back into Russia. And they're expected to land in the pre-dawn hours, Russian time. So look for some news tomorrow on the crew that's coming home. We hope they have a safe trip back on their reentry. And we wish the new crew up there good luck and have a great science mission. And hopefully by the time they get ready to come home, we're going to have the space shuttle back in the air. I don't know how long this crew that's up there is going to be up there right now. I don't think they're planning on the shuttle being ready to go May, June time frame. So I guess we're just going to have to sit back and see how that all works out. Let's see here. kind of on the fringe science. It's almost something that's kind of, it's pretty amazing. There's a study that's been done that has basically proven Einstein's theory, and basically it was Einstein's theory that his theory of relativity. And what they found is that two satellites that they have up there have warped time dimension. I don't know how to really describe it, except that you need to go to the site and read it. And it's what they've done is precise measurements of the orbit of the satellites using a laser, and they've come up with some very interesting results that they cannot. It fits into Einstein's into his theory of relativity, and they're figuring that the force that the Earth's rotation is playing on these, there's no other explanation at this point. But kind of a cool deal on the science front. I know all of you have, many of you are listening to Adam Curry's Daily Source Code. Man, the guy has a great program, and he has the right contacts in industry, and he's come up with some real nice clips, and we congratulate him on his success of his show, and hope that he continues to lead all of us to do better. I have to laugh, though, and on a non-technical side, the Don and Drew show is totally hilarious. These two individuals are, they must be a lot of fun to go party with, and if I'm ever in their neck of the woods, I'm definitely going to have to drop an email and go out for a few beers with them. I don't, you know, they don't know me from Adam, and I don't know them, but I'm getting to know them on via their podcast, and it's pretty funny to listen to them. So if you guys have not listened to their podcast yet, check it out now. A little warning, I would suggest it be at least PG-13. Some of their shows can get a little graphical. Those of you that are looking for RIAA free content, go to archive.org. I've been on there a little bit today looking for some bumper music for the site, and it should be it's a real good source of music that is RIAA free. Tech TV did a episode on podcasting. And they have a little bit of an article on it. Nothing that is too revolutionary, but it's got some good links on there that you can check out. And also, there's something that's kind of it's a project that's been going on for a while. And there's a gentleman that I know that has, since 2001, has been working on a bulletin board system documentary. And it's what he has done is he went out and done on his own dime a great deal of a significant number of interviews with people that were involved with the bulletin board systems in the past, and talked about, you know, it's just basically a history, and it's going to be a great documentary that'll be able to kind of time capsule what happened back in the 80s, and he's going to have a 3-DVD set out for that. And it's $50 for the DVD set, and I've ordered my copy. I think it's going to be something that I'll be able to keep, and you know, maybe 20 years from now, when my kids are we're all sitting around and talking about technology, and say, hey, come here and watch this, and this is what your dad did and had to deal with back before the internet became what it was. And, you know, who knows where we're going to go from here. It's definitely, it's changing by the minute, and new technologies and new things are coming out that are, you know, making some things obsolete almost overnight. But I think I'm going to wrap this up at this point. I'm looking out the window here, and it's pretty nice out today in Austin. It rained last night, so I'm looking forward to getting out and checking the town out today. And hopefully not have another rough night like last night. I did get into some famous restaurants at restaurants and bars at, that Austin is famous for. And I guess what amazes me is the most is the number of live bands that play in this area on a nightly basis. We sure don't have that many live bands playing a variety of music like they do here in Hawaii. So it's kind of refreshing. But those of you that haven't been to Austin before, I encourage you, if you get a chance, to come down to Austin to give it to check it out. It's a very unique city. I kind of their bar district, I kind of relate it to Key West. Key West has a pretty heavy party scene in the evenings in the main strip in Key West. And 6th Street and the Warehouse District here in Austin is reminds me of that greatly. Crowd's a little different. You know, not so many people wearing shorts and zoris and t-shirts. It's more of a upbeat crowd, a little, you know, people dress a lot nicer, of course. But, yeah, it's been pretty cool. Yeah, but I depart here tomorrow, go back up to the Central Texas area, and get ready. I have about 8 days left here in Texas before I go back to Hawaii. And we're going to implement some of the things that we want to implement and hopefully get the show a little more organized. We appreciate you sticking with us at this point and listening to the show. We appreciate your feedback as usual. So please send your feedback to geek@geeknewscentral.com. And, of course, visit the website at geeknewscentral.com. I apologize that the content on the site has been a little slower than usual. Part of that's been because of the work that I'm accomplishing out here. When I get back to Hawaii, things get a little more structured and I have a little more time on my hands. Even though I'm home, you know, it's almost it's kind of ironic. People say, oh, you travel a lot, you must have a lot of spare time, and in some instances I do, in some instances I don't. And this trip has been one of those where I haven't had a lot of extra time. But it's been interesting doing this show initially, and we're having a lot of fun. So take care, and we'll see you mid-next week on the Geek News Central podcast. Thanks for today, and take care. Just came